Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of June 24th, 2018. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well, actually, D.R. Very, very, very well. And you don't want to know why I'm doing so well?
Mm-hmm.
You say why.
Why?
Well, good. Okay, I'm doing well because the Massachusetts State Senate unanimously, that is to say, all 35 as opposed to zero, 35 Massachusetts state senators passed an energy bill that is a climate hawk's fondest wish.
Mm-hmm.
And we in Massachusetts should be very proud of what our Senate has done based on the grassroots pressure to take action. The Senate has written a bill that is, if passed in its entirety, would seriously impact the energy economy in the state of Massachusetts and make it a very green and very good place.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly true that the bill has passed the Massachusetts Senate. It now needs to go to the Massachusetts House, which is a much more conservative and less friendly environment for the bill to go into. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. there's been this profoundly good bill has made it through the Senate. And now it's a question of Massachusetts citizens calling their state representatives and insisting that this bill be passed, preferably intact, but that the good portions of this bill be passed, right? Did you mm-hmm. say anything about the bill, D.R.?
Yes, there was a lot of positive coverage in Commonwealth Magazine, Blue Mass Group, Springfield Republican newspaper. It was very, very, very well covered in a way that I frankly did not expect. I mean, usually you expect this.
It's funny you should say that because I went looking in the Boston Globe and I could not find a single article about this very important bill having passed the Massachusetts Senate.
Now, why do you think that is?
I don't know, but I
thought it was something to do with what's being promoted on the editorial page.
It's surpassingly strange that the Globe was silent, but we won't draw any deeper conclusion than noting that that was the case. But anyway, what I thought, because the information on this bill has been somewhat sequestered into websites that you would have to go seek out, I thought it would mm-hmm. be useful to try to summarize some of the high points in this bill. And there are a lot of them mm-hmm. that are very useful, very good, are kind of geeky in the sense that they're all this energy stuff is quite esoteric. You have to know mm-hmm. what you're talking about. But let's go. I wanted to march through some of them just to give our listeners an idea of the kinds of things that are in this bill and why it's such a good bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that is in the Senate bill, one provision in the bill, I'll try and use provision instead of thing, but one provision in the bill essentially, well, let me set up this way. You and I, DR, have talked repeatedly about how in Massachusetts there is a maximum number of solar panel installations that are allowed to get what is called net metering, which is to say the net of the energy that you take in and the energy you produce with a solar panel and send out of your home, that's mm-hmm. what your meter reads, and you get a financial benefit. You get to pay less because you have this net metering. Massachusetts mm-hmm. has historically had a cap on how many gigawatts or megawatts or solar panels that's allowed, and it's been closely constrained. This bill, this Senate bill, instead of just raising the cap very high, it eliminates the cap entirely. So there is now mm-hmm. no limitation on residential solar panels. So every house and every place can put a solar panel on their roof and get the metering benefits. That is to say, you can sell your electricity back to the grid in addition to not consuming electricity from the grid, you can sell your electricity back to the grid, and that's a very good thing for the solar industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one big marquee achievement of this total energy bill. Another achievement is even bigger, okay? And this one is really one of the most important things in the bill. And it has to do with this arcane thing called the Renewable Portfolio Standard. So the Renewable Portfolio Standard is a requirement that's quoted in terms of percentages, but but there's a certain percentage of electricity that the utilities must procure into their portfolio of sources, so to speak, that produces renewable energy, right? That's why it's a renewable portfolio standard. And there is a certain, as I said, a certain percentage of the electricity the utilities get has to come from renewable energy. Well, this bill requires that that percentage of required clean energy increase by 3% per year. So that every year the utilities have to find 3% more green electricity in order to avoid penalties. Okay, so why is that good? Well, it is good because, let me look it up here. Yeah, here it is, right? If we have a 3% per year increase in the clean energy that we use as a state, by the year 2030, half of our electricity will be coming from renewable power. By the year 2040, 79% of our electricity will be coming from clean energy by the year 2040, and 100% of our energy will come from renewable sources by 2047. So this renewable portfolio standard at 3% is a mandated pathway to reach 100% clean energy in Massachusetts by the year 2050, which is a number that we have all tossed around for many years, right?
Yes.
So reaching 100% clean energy by 2050 is a target. A 3% renewable portfolio standard allows us to get there, and the bill unanimously passed by the Massachusetts State Senate calls for such a 3% per year increase in the renewable portfolio standard, and that is a good GD thing, I would say, right?
Indeed.
So that's great. Another thing that this bill did is the following. Again, here's the context. In 2008, when the Global Warming Solutions Act was written, it called for the state to set a target for greenhouse gas emissions reductions. Right? How much are we going to improve? And we're going to set a target for the year 2020. Right? And what happened over the course of 2008 to 2014 or 15 was that the executive branch said, oh, well, that standard is aspirational. It's not really a hard target. We don't really have to meet it. We're just going to try to meet that target. And it went all the way to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court, and the Supreme Judicial Court said, nay, nay, this target for greenhouse gas emission reduction by the year 2020, this target you set for yourself, that has the force of law, and you must meet it as a state. Okay. So what this bill does, this new bill that just passed the Massachusetts Senate, does a similar thing. It sets a hard, fast legal target for the year 2030 and a hard, fast legal target for the year 2040 of how much more we're going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And that's good because then that provides certainty. The state needs to know where it's going. There are provisions in the bill that the state will monitor this and plan for it and how we're going to reduce these greenhouse gas emissions, you know, to meet these targets. So that's another really good thing this bill has in it. Another thing this bill has in it is that it basically mandates that the state buy 5 gigawatts of offshore wind by the mid-2030s. Right. So you and I have talked a lot recently about the Block Island wind turbine and how we now have these wind turbines being proposed off Martha's Vineyard, and they're deep water and how great they are. I mean, that's, if we're lucky, we'll get to 1.8 gigawatts by the mid-2020s, right? 2025. Well, now this bill, if it were fully passed, would call for 5 gigawatts, which is more than twice as much by 2035, which is, again, a great, great thing. And just, I mean, it just, the list keeps going on. Another thing that this bill does is that it sets a requirement for how much electricity storage will exist in Massachusetts, right? So you've always heard that there's this knock on renewable energies. The sun doesn't shine at night. The wind doesn't always blow. If it's, you know, if it's dark and not windy, where do you get your power? Well, the way you get the power is by storing the electricity in essentially huge batteries, right? And so this battery technology that stores renewable energy is important to the future of the renewable grid. And this bill requires that basically a 10x increase in the amount of storage that we have in the state by the year 2025. That is to say, 2 gigawatts of power will be stored in batteries in Massachusetts by the year 2025, which then kickstarts a whole industry of electricity storage where Massachusetts will be the leader because we've done it and we can sell that technology to other states. I mean, it's a wonderful, I mean, it's such a good thing. Another thing that's in this bill is that the utilities are prevented from trying to put a tax on your electricity bill to pay for pipelines, right? That's mm-hmm. been an issue we've talked about many times, right? And that the state government in this bill would officially deny that. There is a provision, again, very arcane provision about something called demand charges, which is so esoteric that it's hard to understand. But if you have a solar panel on your roof, most of the time you don't use very much electricity because the solar panels are generating electricity that you're consuming. So you're mm-hmm. demanding not very much electricity from the grid, right? What the utilities want to do is to charge you at 24 hours a day for whatever the peak power you consume. When it's the middle of the night and you have all your lights on, right, no solar electricity, that's what you pay 24 hours a day because that mm-hmm. benefits the utility and penalizes people with solar panels. And this bill basically reforms that idea of the demand charge and makes it harder for the utilities to do, which is, again, mm-hmm. a wonderful thing for solar panel. I feel like I'm rambling here. I mean, it's just there's so many good things in it. This bill calls for 25% electric vehicles to be in Massachusetts by the year 2025. Can you believe that? I mean, yep. 25% of the vehicles in Massachusetts would be electric vehicles in 7 years. That's pretty impressive. And it calls for the buses and all of the state-owned heavy vehicles to be clean, which is essentially battery-powered electric vehicles, by sometime in the 1920s, in the 2020s. And finally, DR, one of the things that I don't fully understand, I don't know if you have had a chance, but it's the carbon price. There are provisions in this bill that would allow the state to put market prices on carbon in order to pay for all this stuff. So in a sense, mm-hmm. I don't want to say carbon tax, but it's a market mechanism for pricing carbon, which is, you know, every show we end with talking about, we have to put a price on carbon. Well, this bill mm-hmm. finally puts a price on carbon. It allows the state to begin doing what they call market mechanisms. Yep. So it's like, okay, that's a good bill. And I'm running out of steam myself, but there are a bunch of then really good amendments that got passed on to this bill, not the least of which is that there are special provisions for low-income areas to get the full benefit of net metering, because they were mm-hmm. kind of put out. And another provision, I mean, I can't go through the 7 or 8 of them, but one of the other important provisions is that it was now legal for a community to build a solar panel array in a different town or a different electrical load area and claim that credit for itself. And so why is that very esoteric kind of thing important? It's because if you're living in downtown Lowell and you're a disadvantaged, neighborhood, there's not that much space to put up solar panels. You don't get mm-hmm. to take part in that market. But under this bill, you can build an electric solar array outside of Lowell, someplace where there's space to build it, and still take credit for it, even though the town where that solar panel is not part of your immediate utility. So it's mm-hmm. a way to make it more fair for lower income and disadvantaged communities to buy into the electric, the renewable energy market, which is just, mm-hmm. again, it's really geeky, right? Really esoteric about exactly mm-hmm. how do you build this, make this bill. But it's very important for the sort of economic fairness to all the people in Massachusetts that, of course, we're all striving for. Mm-hmm. So I will stop there. I mean, I'm sure that everyone that's listening to this has drifted off into somnambulance after that very long run of, but this is a good bill, and mm-hmm. it's been passed by the Massachusetts Senate. It is now facing the sausage maker in the Massachusetts House of Representatives, right? Mm-hmm. I think the word has it that the people in the House of Representatives might take this enormous bill and break it up into smaller bills. The I guess it's DeLeo is the head of the House of Representatives.
Yep.
He doesn't like the idea of the no net metering caps. He wants caps on net metering for some reason. So the only way this bill remains intact, as wonderful as it is, it's only going to remain intact if people in Massachusetts call up their representatives and demand that your state representative support all of the provisions of the Pacheco bill. It's actually called a bill to enhance clean energy or something. And so there you go. I can stop there, DR. I've been kind of long-winded. I appreciate your listening so patiently to me. But this bill that has gone through the Massachusetts Senate is a good bill. We need now to get it through the House of Representatives. It's going to come to a head over the next 6 weeks or so because the House of Representatives is going to wind up their session by late July or so. So if this is the time, if you care about this, call up your state representative and tell them to vote to support these measures. Whew. I'm going to stop there, DR. I'm going to take a deep breath and let you say something.
All I can add is that, you know, these measures taken together would certainly ensure that Massachusetts leaps ahead of California. I mean, we mentioned before the sort of this de facto competition between Massachusetts and California as to which state's going to be the clean energy leader. And the passage of this bill intact would unquestionably put Massachusetts at the vanguard of being the number one state in the union in terms of clean energy. But as you noted, unless there is a vocal show of support by the public, it is absolutely going to get gutted in the House. And and people need to realize that, you know, the long knives and the short knives and the medium-sized knives are out for this bill unless people figure out a way to sort of disarm those who want to gut this bill.
But absolutely. I mean, the good news is that it got through the Massachusetts Senate. That's the first step, right? You don't go anywhere if we don't get through the Senate. Now we got to get it through the House. And yes, we will be discussing how to do that. I'm sure that in the coming weeks, there'll be additional opportunities to go to the State House. I know that the Massachusetts Climate Action Network legislative team, I mean, there are working with an organization called Mass Power Forward. We organize lobbying days in the State House. You can get help as to what to say. I mean, all the right stuff. So there you go. We'll put it down there. Dear listener, this is your chance. Call the State House. All right? Let's see, DR. As I said, we'll put up some links to some of this stuff, I think we're good to go, right? There's going to be at the massclimateaction.org/blog, on the Facebook page at Mass Climate Action, I'm going to read the closing again. You know I read this, dear listener. I haven't got this memorized quite yet. I probably could say it without reading it, but I always read it. We'll close where we always close, by saying because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States, and I dare say Massachusetts, put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.